The Federal Trade Minister, Andrew Robb, says he's bemused by the reaction of some agricultural industries to the deal he brokered with Japan earlier this month. The dairy, rice and sugar industries were particularly outspoken against the deal, which they variously called disappointing, a missed opportunity, and even as hanging Australian growers out to dry. Andrew Robb says the reaction from some sectors beggars belief, and that the concessions Australia won in the deal have been undersold. Our political reporter Anna Vido sat down with Andrew Robb in Canberra.
I'm not sure what some people wanted, another 8 years, while we get left behind the rest of the world. The fact of the matter is we've done something that's never been done by any major agricultural exporting country in terms of the concessions. For the beef industry, it's unbelievably good. The dairy industry, you know, despite a lot of the commentary, I had meetings with them a week before I left. They were very clear about the dimension of what could be achieved, and they have grossly understated so much of what was achieved in the dairy package. It's quite bemusing to me as to, you know, are they playing just to their constituency? It really has opened up doors that were never open in Japan.
Is that really the case, though? If we look at the dairy industry particularly, what the dairy industry has secured in this agreement is an expansion of Australia-specific quota for tariff-free importation of processed cheese. I understand, though, that what dairy was really after were tariff reductions for fresh cheese. What they would really have liked was tariff reductions for milk powder and butter, but they didn't even try for those because they thought they would be a bridge too far. So haven't they really just got extra quota that they weren't using anyway?
The list is not true. I mean, they get a quota currently of 27,000 tonnes.
Globally, in fact.
Yeah, well, it's part of a global quota. They get 27,000 tonnes of it duty-free. On top of that, there's about another 60,000 tonnes sold with a tariff of 29%. They wanted that 29% down. I agree with that. But they called us off. I can show you the email, which says back off to 29% and concentrate on other areas. And then they came out when that was announced and they criticised us for that not getting more on that 29%. Fact is, we got an extra 20,000 tonnes. There was 12 on the table when I met them. 20,000 tonnes extra, duty-free. And not only duty-free, it doesn't have to be matched by local cheese, right, which is another
restriction previously.
Yeah. But also, you know, bear in mind, we've got a halving of 40% tariff for processed cheese over 10 years, tariff reductions on grated and powdered cheese, 20% tariff reduction on blue vein cheese, no volume restrictions, tariffs on casein, milk protein concentrates and lactose eliminated immediately. They're all markets that could end up as $100 million markets, and yet we've got this hysteria that came out of some sections of the dairy industry, and it just beggars belief, really,
so
when all
think-
those things I've just read through are real advantages for the industry, and many sections of the industry have come back to me privately and said they're very pleased about all of these doors that have been opened.
Why do you think, then, that that's been the reaction of among the dairy sector in particular?
Well, I was a senior figure in agri-politics years ago, too long ago, unfortunately. Some play to their constituency, and it's happened again. I think it's short-sighted. It is an unprecedented breakthrough, and it's not the finish, it's the start. And I think things like the TPP, I was very mindful of that. I think the TPP will go further with Japan. And I think what we've done is just the start for Japan, not the finish by any stretch.
The next thing, of course, the next cab off the rank is China. The investment question is going to be an interesting one. And certainly the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, had some interesting comments to make at the end of his trip, particularly the fact that he's open to at least considering whether or not Australia should soften its regulations around investment in Australia by state-owned companies. To what extent is that a deal-breaker for China, whether or not Australia is prepared to do something like that?
That is perhaps one of their major issues, and we have to look at that. Clearly, every country's got state-owned enterprises, but China's predominantly state-owned enterprises, and the question is, are the state-owned enterprises conducting themselves in the same way as a private enterprise? Now, that's the sort of issue that we're looking at, and there are things such as what's called greenfields development, new developments. In that case, where we can't get anyone else to invest, and they come in as a greenfields development, we haven't got a lot to lose in that situation. They're bringing their own money, pouring it into a new development, and these are the sorts of things we're saying, well, let's have a look at, you know, where SOEs could come in to our advantage and still consistent with the intent of our legislation.
The politics of this is difficult, though, isn't it? Internationally, quite apart from domestically, to what extent is Australia actually in a position where we could offer such a concession to China when we haven't offered it to other important trading partners like Indonesia, clearly, or even Japan or Korea?
Well, we haven't done a deal with Indonesia. We're in the process of considering one. Japan and Korea are not dominated. Korea's got more SOEs, but they're not dominated. Japan's not. So the countries are in quite different situations.
So you don't think we'd be irritating our other trading partners if we were to offer that to China?
No, I don't. I mean, it's what is it we're offering? We haven't made any decisions yet. We're starting to sort of put some ideas out there so we can explore it with the Chinese. It's not going to in any sense be open slather. We have got rules. They apply universally. Whatever rules we come up with, I think, ought to be able to be applied ultimately to other countries if they meet the same conditions that we lay down.
The coalition obviously came to power promising tighter restrictions on foreign investment as far as agricultural land and agribusiness are concerned. There's clearly concern in the Australian community about foreign investment. How do you sell such a relaxation
well,
in the rules?
Well, I say to you, firstly, there's always been concern. As long as I've been around, every time there's a new wave of investment, the community gets concerned about, and the rhetoric's the same, the concerns are the same.
Your National Party colleagues are concerned too.
Well, that was true in the 80s when I was running the National Farmers Federation in Japan, were coming in with lots of money. The same arguments were put in the 1940s, 2 years after the US had saved us. The whole reason the Foreign Investment Review Board's in place is because of concern about the Americans' investment in Australia back after the war. But the thing is, they can't tie the tractor up to a fence and pull the farm away. The thing is, we've got to be realistic. We've just got to be sensible in how we manage it. I do understand the concerns that people have. That's why we're not going to have open slather. That's why the rules we set with our National Party colleagues, $15 million as a threshold for private, for agricultural land and 53 for agribusiness. We have got those, both of those embodied in the Japan and the Korean agreements, and they'll be in the Chinese agreement.
Federal Trade Minister Andrew Robb speaking to our reporter Anna Vido in Canberra. And if you'd like to hear more of that interview, it's available online, abc.net.au/rural. After several pretty tough seasons for cattle producers, things are looking up. Indeed, producers in the top end say they're getting the best prices ever, with $2.10 a kilo for heifers and $2.30 a kilo for steers heading to Indonesia. Mike Shaw is very happy. He's from Spring Creek Station on the border of the Territory in Western Australia. He told Tyne McConnon it's the start of a season he's been desperate for.
The yards at Spring Creek Station are like a production line at the moment. It's almost like a beehive. There's people going everywhere, there's heifers going everywhere, and it's all because a truck is coming in about 4 days to pick up to about 300 heifers and 300 steers, which are going to Indonesia. I'm actually standing here alongside the yards with Spring Creek owner Mike Shaw. Now, Mike, what has to actually be done before any of these actually get on the boat? What are you checking for here today?
Well, this line here now, we've already gone through this line. There's about 250 left here now. We went through the own peg, tested them ourselves and got all the definite pregnants out. There's a couple here we're not quite sure of, you know, just in calf. Now we've got the vet here, come over from Catherine, flew in this morning. He's been doing myself, Rosewood and Waterloo. Now he's got to peg test them and give us a certificate to say they're definitely not in calf.
Are you weighing them here also today?
Yeah, we are. We're just, I've got actually all mine, well, most of my number twos, usually there's a lot more pregnant, but last year there was a bloody, wind, such a dry year last year, a lot of these aren't in calf this year. Like usually 50% are going to be in calf, but not this year. There's about, oh, probably 25% in calf. So we've got to weigh them, and the ones that are over the three, let's say 360, out because they're too heavy. The ones below 270 are too light, so they're out as well.
Are you finding that you've got a few that fit the requirements at the moment, though?
Oh, yeah, no, we're right. Yeah, no, I've got the number. Yeah, probably good.
How good is the price at the moment, Mike?
$2.10 for these heifers, $2.30 for the steers.
How long?
The highest price ever.
Highest price ever. So you haven't seen prices like this for ever?
Never. Never.
Do you have many already sold for the season? Have you already got many organised for the rest of the season yet?
No, we'll just keep going through like this. As we pick up these heifers, we'll keep preg testing. Most of my steers, now I've taken the lead out of my steers with this 300, and then I'll have some more to go in about, say, 4 months' time, and then some more a bit later on. But I've got heavy cows to go yet, ones we spayed in the last few years, and I might have to sell some pregnant cows, depends on how financial I need to be and pay the bank back and pay the school fees and all the rest of it.
Yeah, speaking of that, I remember standing here last year and things were pretty negative. It was dry, the season wasn't looking good, and you're coming off a bad season. How are you feeling standing here this year?
Yeah, no, a lot better this year. I think I speak for a lot of people. I don't think there's too many private operators who could have kept going on. We couldn't keep going for too many more years without the bank starting to, hey, we want some of our money back. You know, we couldn't keep going. And last year was a dry year for me. Not everyone was dry. Like, I was very dry last year, second driest on record, only by 40 mil too, I might add.
Is a good season just in time, maybe, for many producers?
It is. It is. Especially little, small private operators, I think. You know, the big companies, they can override things, but small little private fellas behind me, she's been a tough few years, I tell you. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about China as a new market coming on and that need for beef over there. Indonesia's permits are also gone up in this second quarter. Vietnam's another one.
Yep.
How good is it to hear that news? Do you think that you've got over that hard bit and there might be some easier times to come?
Yeah, I think we're right. I think everything's going good. Don't any of them politicians upset those Asian countries, for God's sake. Otherwise, it's all looking good. And in fact, my bank man come around last year and he was very positive about the industry. But that's a good sign. When the bank man's a positive, it's a good sign.
Mike Shaw from Spring Creek Station in the Kimberley, speaking there with Tyne McConnon. It's also been an excellent few months for farmers who produce prime lambs. In Horsham, in Western Victoria, the sale yards posted its best March in years. Brett Worthington headed along to this week's lamb sale for a bit of a look-see.
59, Chunda, 59, MCH, number one. Here they are, two.
Paul Christopher, Horsham Regional Livestock Exchange Superintending Manager.
So we're just in that awkward period between Easter and Anzac Day, but from my understanding, March was a really solid month here at Horsham. Can you take us through what you saw?
Yeah, look, going back through the figures, I've been out here now for nearly 9 years, and it was definitely the biggest sale that I've been involved with. So I went back through the figures, and it turned out to be the biggest March on record that we've had at the Horsham Regional Livestock Exchange. I think that's to do with the price. The price was fantastic, so our farmers have got the confidence to bring them in here, and they got good money, so the numbers kept coming in. This one was down a little bit because of the short week, but I'm expecting that the numbers will climb up again next week.
So it has, that form has carried into April, where you were seeing solid prices and solid numbers passing through?
Most certainly, yes. The numbers have been fantastic for the two sales before Easter. Of course, we have the Easter week off, and then this week was down to about 13,500, but next week I'm expecting that we'll have a few more.
Younger. Yep, the younger hands, you want them that way again, boys? They're all up there, all of a sudden, they're 35.
Yes.
Yes. Half six.
How many is
half
there? Eight. Put them in the number
half
three.
Nine. Half 40.
A couple of farmers I was chatting to were saying there was a real sense of the mood changing and kind of a nice spirit at the moment. Is that what you're seeing at the markets at the moment?
Oh, definitely. When the prices are good and farmers are getting more than they expect, it's very jovial and you see smiles on the faces. And look, they're probably getting what lambs are worth, and it's worthwhile having them and breeding lambs, certainly.
Obviously, selling's a seasonal thing and supply and demand factors will affect things. But what are you thinking as we edge towards the end of April and into May and deeper into winter?
Look, I'd love to have a crystal ball, but my thoughts on it would be that there's lambs, of course, on the ground now. There's user lambing, and I would have thought the numbers have got to come from somewhere. So I would think that this spring it will be good prices. How good, like I said, the crystal ball, we don't know, but I would think supply and demand will be good, and then we'll just have to see how we go further on down the track.
In your 9-year tenure, you would have seen some of those drought years and just how bad things got. And if you look at things today, how does the mood today reflect the other years that you've been here?
Oh, look, yeah, jovial. And it was like this 4 years ago when lambs creeped up into the $200 mark. I think it's just a sense of you're getting good money for your produce. It's like grain or anything. If you can get good money, it makes you happier. But those that stick through, I think farming is all about peaks and troughs. And if they can, you know, say somewhere in the middle, people are happy to do it.
And just on the broader outlook, that it might be a softening of prices, but you are confident that things could remain quite strong here at Horsham?
I would think so, yeah. I'm hoping that for myself. I'm a lamb producer myself. But just looking into it, I can't see that there's going to be a lot of numbers around. So you'd think that people that have stuck by their lamb would do quite well in the springtime.
97.5, done. 97.5.
Paul Christopher from the Horsham Livestock Exchange speaking there with Brett Worthington. Isn't it great to hear some good news at last for farmers?